As Thomas mentioned, we started last week a series on the life and times of Samuel. And I mentioned last week that Samuel was the bridge. He was the bridge that brought Israel from the time of the judges to the time of the kings. It wasn't his choice. He didn't want to go that way, but the people wanted to be just like everyone else, and so they wanted a king. Samuel was the one that anointed the first king, Saul. And then when he turned away from following the Lord, Samuel was the one that also anointed David. And this week in my reading, some of you are reading as we are through the Bible in the different genres. And this week in the historical portion, we were finishing up the life of David. And there was something that stood out to David as being the most important thing in his life. And you might think about David's life and you think, well, yeah, he must have been excited about, as a young boy, killing Goliath. That had to be what he would talk about in his last words. Or maybe it was leading the great army and overcoming foes that were totally outnumbered him. Or maybe it was being king over the whole land. Maybe we would think, oh, in his last moments, he would think of some of the regrets, some of the things that where he had fallen into adultery and murder. But none of those things are the things that he talks about in his last words. In 2 Samuel 23:1, it says, these are the final words of David. Let's listen to them as I read verses 2 and the first part of 3. He said, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me. What was it that impressed David more than his exploits for the Lord, more than the great accomplishments? It was the fact that God spoke to him and through him. And so, as we come to the second portion of Samuel, we look at how God called him. We know that Samuel was an answer to prayer at his very birth, that when he was weaned, we don't know exactly when that was, somewhere between when he was 3 and 7, he was given to Eli to serve, to minister in the temple or in the tabernacle at that time. And we don't know exactly when chapter 3 begins. People speculate maybe when he was 12 years old, because that would be a momentous time in the life of a Jewish young boy. That would be the time that he became a man. They still practice this among Orthodox Jews. On the 12th birthday, they have a bar mitzvah. They read from the Torah themselves, and they are considered a man. Maybe that was what was the timing for God to speak to him. We don't know. We do know that it was a very powerful meeting with God. And I want to read chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. And if you look back at the other chapters, you realize this is the third time it says that he served or ministered there. There was a theme coming out, wasn't there? Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? And he got up and he ran to Eli and he said, here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. And so he did. And then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli said. Go back to bed. Probably in a little bit more irritated voice the second time. Samuel did not know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. And so the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" And then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. And so he said to Samuel, "Go lie down again. If someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord called, and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." Can you imagine? I think there was a quiver in his voice when he said that. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from the beginning to the end. I've warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. And so I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offering." Samuel stayed in bed until morning and then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him, but Eli called out to him, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you?" "Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." And so Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold back. He didn't hold anything back. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. And Samuel's word went out to all the people of Israel. Quite a startling call upon his life. Let's look just briefly at it. The situation was clear. The messages from the Lord were very rare at that time. People were not seeking the Lord. In fact, many of them were worshiping false idols, false gods. And Samuel, because Eli was almost blind at that time, Samuel was the one that was caring for the lampstand in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, there was only three pieces of furniture. There would be the table for the bread that was baked and left there as an offering every day. There would be the lampstand, which burned day and night, and it had to be tended to, so the fire never went out. And then there would be the altar of incense. Behind the veil, of course, there would be the Ark of the Covenant and the Seat of Mercy. And so Samuel apparently was sleeping right there so that the light, the lamp, did not go out. And God's call was pretty clear, wasn't it? First of all, it was loud enough to wake him up. I don't know about you, but my experience with little boys at 12 is they sleep pretty soundly. And so it was a loud "Samuel," got his attention. It was personal. And I think whenever you read the Bible, you need to understand that that's how God deals with us personally. You will never find a passage in the Bible where God says, "Hey, you. You know, you, the one with no hair." Never says that. Never says that. It's always by name, Samuel. It was personal. And it was persistent. God continued to call until Samuel understood. Look at his reaction. I like the reaction of Samuel. Immediately got up and he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Middle of the night, maybe in the wee hours of the morning. And Eli, you know, rubbed his eyes and said, "No, that must have been a dream. Go back, lay down. I didn't call you." And it happened again. And he came and said, "Here I am. You called me." And he said, No, I did not call you. Go lay down." Happened the third time. And finally, Eli understood that God was speaking to Samuel. God had spoken to Eli in years past, and now he understood that God was speaking to him. And so he said, go back and lay down and open up your ears and tell the Lord, your servant is listening. Your servant is listening. The message was devastating. Eli, the high priest, the holy man of Israel, had neglected to discipline his own children. Wow, parents, that's scary, isn't it? He failed to discipline his own children, and God's wrath fell on him as well as his children. And it was the judgment of God. It was a confirmation. And if you go back to chapter 2, you realize that a prophet had already told Eli that that's what God was going to do. And now God confirms it by speaking to Samuel. The results, it says that God continued to speak to him. There was something about the way he received the message that made it easy for God to continue to speak to him. And it says everything he said was reliable, and God did not let one of his words fail. And the whole land knew that Samuel was a prophet of God. There's some lessons we need to learn from that. We need to learn that the power of sin is devastating. The power of sin is devastating. It cost Eli and his sons their life. It removed them from being the high priest of the land. The power of sin is still devastating. The power of prayer is overcoming. In this terrible time in Israel's history, when it says they had no king and everyone did what they thought, what he wanted to do, it was a horrible time. And they were following other gods, and they were worshiping this and worshiping themselves. In that time, God answered prayer, and he sent Samuel. Samuel was an answer to prayer. Samuel was to be the bridge to take the word of God into Israel. Samuel was the one that would help them to come back to their senses. We understand God speaks to old, like Eli. I was going to say like Alec, but I wouldn't say that. Oh, that would be bad. Like Ken, because I'm as old as he is. And we're both quite young, just so you don't get any wrong ideas here. But he also speaks to young people. I think sometimes we think, well, can God speak to children? Absolutely, God can speak to children. In fact, probably it's easier for God to speak to children than us older ones, because they don't have so much baggage. They don't have so many preconceived notions. They don't have so much judgment. This is the way God must speak and no other way. That comes with us. Children are just open. And God speaks in the Bible. He speaks to a number of children. So God speaks to children. Another thing that maybe we should learn is that just being religious and being around religion is not equal to hearing from God. Samuel had served the Lord for a number of years. He was sleeping in the tabernacle, but he didn't know the voice of God. He had not personally had a relationship with God. It's possible to hear God and not understand. Possible to hear God and not understand. So there's three burning questions that come out of this. First question is, does God really speak to men today? People want to know that. I love telling my testimony of how God called me into the ministry, and I'm not going to repeat it all today. Most of you have heard it. And people say, well, but did God speak audibly? Did you hear his voice? And I said, well, I don't know if it was an audible voice or not. It was so clear that there was no question in my mind. It was God speaking to me. Does God speak to men today? He began speaking to mankind in the Garden of Eden. He spoke to Moses face to face. He spoke to the prophets. If you read through the prophets, one of the things you probably should put a little tick by or check by is when it says, and God said, it's over and over and over again in the prophets. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it says this: long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. When Jesus came, he was the Word. It says in John, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus himself, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was a 3D. You know, it's kind of exciting things now. They're printing 3D parts. Jesus was the 3D God. We could see him and we could hear him. And he was fully God and fully man. Jesus was the Word and he is the Word of God. Peter and the apostles, including Paul, heard God. In 2 Peter 1:18, it says, "We ourselves heard that voice from heaven while we were with him on the Holy Mount." They heard him. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would speak his words to us. In John 16:13, it says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes," the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, "he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." Does God speak to men today? The answer is clear. Yes, he does. He does. We heard it already this afternoon. We're not morning. That God speaks often through visions and dreams to those who are of Islam. By the way, if you do not have a prayer guide for praying these 30 days of Ramadan, send me an email and I'll send you one. I think it is a time that Christians need to be focusing prayer on the Muslim world, because this is a time that when people are earnestly opening up, not all of them do, but some of them do, it's a time that God can reveal himself to them. And so, yes, God speaks. Second question is, how do we know the voice of God? I mean, we understand that there are various sources for thoughts and feelings that come into our life. Some of them are just our thinking. And that's okay. God expects us to use our brains. God expects us to think things through. There's nothing wrong with using our minds. But we are warned in Proverbs twice that there is a way that seems right to man, but the end is death. So intellect alone, understanding of our own concepts alone, could lead us down the wrong path. We know also that Satan and the demons want to put thoughts in your mind. I think it was Luther that said, you can't keep the birds from flying around over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Now, some of us don't have a problem with that, you see, because we don't have any hair. But others might have a problem. What he was talking about was that you're going to hear those evil thoughts. They're going to come, and they're like birds flying through or by. But you don't have to dwell upon them. You don't have to take them in. We know that even Peter, when he was talking, and Jesus was saying, in 3 days, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to leave you. And Peter took him aside and said, "Don't say that. It's not going to happen." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You're speaking the words of man and not the words of God." And so Satan can put thoughts into our mind. And God. So ourselves, Satan, and God. God can speak audibly or otherwise, but he can speak clearly. So how do we understand and discern which is the word of God, the voice of God? First of all, I think we need to judge by what we are sure of. God gave us this word, and it has been preserved. It's an amazing book. It's been preserved down through history. Even some of the translations that have sought to twist it are still filled with the word of God. But we have, in the day that we live in, you can read the word of God in almost every language in the world. There's There's still some languages that don't have it in their native mother tongue, but in their trade language, the Bible is in all the world. So if you're looking at that scripture and say, well, he's not going to come again until everybody understands the word, I don't think that's a problem anymore. Everyone can understand the word. It is available. And God will never contradict himself. Okay? So if you say, well, I think God's wanting me to do this, but I know the Bible's really against that, then you can understand that's not from God. It's not from God. If someone tells me, well, God said it was okay for us to do this, and it's contradictory to the Word of God, I say, no. A spirit might have told you that, but it wasn't God's spirit. God does not contradict his own word. So start there. You judge the voice by the word. That means you have to study the word and be acquainted with it. Look for confirmation. God almost always confirms his word by repetition. Almost. I won't box God in and say he always does. But look at Samuel's case here. Called out to Samuel. Samuel didn't understand. God didn't say, well, forget him. I'll go call somebody else. No, he called again and again until Samuel understood and responded. God almost always confirms his word by repetition. Also through other believers, situation and peace. God confirms. You don't have to worry that God's going to whisper one thing in your ear and then leave you in the darkness to worry about it. Parents, we understand this, don't we? There's hardly ever a truth that you explain to your child just once. Here's how you do it, you know? You have to do it again and again and again. And God is the Heavenly Father, and he cares for us, and he puts up with us, and he keeps repeating, and he keeps bringing it to our mind so it's clear. And the final thing I want to say under that is that God never rushes us. If you feel like you've got to make a decision right now and you don't have all the facts and you're really worried about it, that's not from God. It's not from God. God doesn't put you in a pressure box. He gives you time to make a decision. Thirdly, determine ahead to obey his voice. Jesus said this in John 17:7. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I spoke on my own. If you are determined in your mind that you're not going to listen, we read this week also in Jeremiah where after the main group were carried away into captivity, the remnant there, they came to Jeremiah and they said, ask the Lord what we should do and we will follow. And so Jeremiah prayed. I was impressed by the fact that he prayed for 10 days before he got an answer. But he got an answer. And he told them, stay here. Don't go to Egypt. What did they say? No, that's not what we wanted to hear. You're lying. You're in alliance with the enemy. We're not going to obey. We're going to go away. Why could they not hear God themselves? Because they had already made up their mind. They'd already decided whether they would obey or not obey. And if you don't have an openness to God, don't expect him to speak to you. If you're determined in your mind, this is the way it has to be, why would you ask God in the first place? And why would God take time to speak to you? You have to come to him and say, Lord, whatever your will is, let your will be done, not mine. Even Jesus had to learn obedience. It says that in Hebrews. And how did he learn? Through suffering. Through suffering. He learned obedience. You and I, we need to learn obedience by committing ourselves and saying, Lord, as you speak, I'm going to follow. I'm going to be there. How can we hear from God? First of all, be sure that you belong to him. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. If you're a child of God, you belong to him, you recognize his voice. Have you ever had a friend call you up on the phone and somehow try to muffle his voice and tell you something else? Maybe that only happens to me. But I had a friend once call me up and said, this is the police and we're investigating. Yeah, Wilbur, I know who you are, and you're not the police. Get off my line. When you know a voice, they even try to disguise it. You still know the voice. It's clear to you. When you belong to God, it is like sheep listening to their shepherd. They understand. Secondly, believe that God wants to speak to you. That's a startling thing for some Christians. Oh, yeah, God speaks to missionaries and pastors and other people like that, but God doesn't speak to me. It's not true. God wants to speak into every believer's life. In John 14, 26, it says, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. God wants you to hear. God wants you to be able to be with him and to understand what he wants. Thirdly, position your heart to hear. Position your heart to hear. We need to get our heart lined up with God so that we're on the same frequency, okay? When I say that, you recognize with me that this room is filled with other messages. If we had the right receiver here, we could be listening to country western music from Tennessee or somewhere. If we had the right receiver here, we could be watching endless, meaningless television. I mean, this room is filled with those things. We're just not tuned into those frequencies, and aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? So it shouldn't be strange to us to think that we somehow must get our minds and our hearts on the frequency of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he will reward those who earnestly seek him. Line your heart up with him. You know what stuffs our spiritual ears? Sin. Unconfessed sin. When we're hiding sin in our life, when we're not confessing it, it becomes like cotton in our ears. We can't hear spiritually. Confess your sins to the Lord, and he will forgive them. Cultivate the awareness of God. The awareness of God. There's a little book written by a monk that said as he became more and more aware of God, he could hear God just as well while he was washing the pots and pans as he could when he was worshiping in the temple. And that's the way it should be with Christians. Shouldn't be just on Sunday that you hear God speaking to you. It should be every day, every day. Learn to listen. Wow, that sounds kind of redundant, doesn't it? Learn to listen. But do you remember how many times Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And there were times that his disciples came and said, why are you speaking in parables? And he said, because those who will not really listen, not really hear, it'll just go on away from them, and they won't believe because they refuse to listen. In Luke 8:18, it says, be careful how you listen. Are you listening for God? There's some things that means. It means you have to be in the Word of God. You say, Pastor, you are a really broken record. You're always talking about being in the Word. I always will. This is the Word of God. And you need to be reading and studying and memorizing and making it a part of your life. And you will learn how to discern the voice of God. Study his word. Recognize his heart. In 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon said to God, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. We know that Elijah was, when he wanted to hear from God, he was on the mountain, and it says he was there, and there was a rushing wind, and he thought, God is speaking through this powerful wind, but he didn't hear anything. And then there was an earthquake, shook the whole world. And he said, God has a message here. And he didn't hear anything. And then there was a fire. And finally, it says there was a faint whisper. And it was God speaking. God, we can't put God in the box and say, it's got to speak like this. It's got to be this way. I've got to have this much and that, and I have to have this, and then God can speak. No, don't try to put him in a box, but learn to listen. Learn to listen to what God wants to say to you. And probably the most important thing is spend time with him. Spend time with him. Listen in prayer till you know his voice clearly. Mothers are amazing creatures, aren't they? You get a mother in a room, two or three mothers, the children in another room, and some baby begins to cry. And the mother recognizes, I recognize that voice. I've heard that cry before. And they know who it is. God speaks to us. And if we are in tune with him, we recognize his voice. And we recognize that he is speaking to us today. Samuel heard the voice of God, responded quickly and obediently. And that's what God's desiring for us. Is God speaking to your heart? Are there things that are hindering you from hearing what God wants to say to you? Confess those. Give those back to God. Allow him to forgive you and to make that way open. Are you just ignoring the word of God? We live in a terribly dangerous life, time. You know, not just that there might be a bomb in the U-Bahn. You might not get across the street. You might die in your sleep tonight. You say, Pastor, are you trying to scare us? No. I just want you to be ready. I just want you to understand. Life is fragile and very questionable. But God is sure. And his voice is clear. Are you listening? Are you listening?